I'm Katie Clark. This is The World. Countless books have been written about Iraq since the U.S.-led invasion of 2003. Most are memoirs from U.S. soldiers and officials, military histories, and policy studies. Very few have focused on the views of ordinary Iraqis. A new book by Christina Asquith does just that. It's called Sisters in War, a story of love, family, and survival in the new Iraq. It tells the story of one Iraqi family and the Americans who befriended them. Christina Asquith met the family shortly after the fall of Saddam Hussein in 2003 and even lived with them for some time. She's with us now. Christina, welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
The two central characters here are the sisters Nunu and Zia, and you do such a great job of introducing us to them in the opening lines of the book. I'd like you to just begin by reading the beginning.
Sure. When the sisters heard the roar of U.S. military planes overhead, they clambered up the wooden steps onto the roof of their uncle's mud brick farmhouse. "Maybe they can see us," cried Nunu happily. She shouted to the sky, for once not caring who heard. "Go, good luck, but don't kill any innocent people." Zia laughed with her, glad to have something, at last, to celebrate. The Americans were here to free them from Saddam. She watched her little sister waving at the distant black specks, skipping over the mud and straw in her fancy shoes. A few days ago, Nunu had overheard on her shortwave radio that American troops were marching through Iraqi villages, going door to door, and ever since then she had been getting up an extra hour early in the morning just to do her hair and makeup. So far, no war heroes had shown up, but it was so good to see Nunu happy that Zia hadn't even teased her for it. They could feel the electricity in the air. After years of oppression, the government was about to be overthrown, and Iraq would be free. A freedom they had only ever known through their mother's stories of Iraq's glorious past.
How did you meet Zia and Nunu, and how did you happen to come to live with them for a while?
I met them just at the start of the war. I was doing a story on Saddam's daughters, and I was looking for Iraqi women to interview, and I went into Saddam's palace, which at that point was occupied by the U.S. administration. Zia had volunteered to work for them about a month earlier, incredibly brave thing for young Iraqi women to do. And I started to ask her, when I interviewed her about Iraqi women's lives under Saddam, I could just see that she was incredibly bright and incredibly hopeful and idealistic, in my opinion, for what the Americans were going to be able to do in Iraq. And we just became friends. She had me over for dinner and I met her family. And over the course of the year, through my friendship with her, I realized what an incredible story was happening and how very much the effects of the war on Iraqi people were being reflected in the experiences that she was having. So I asked her and her family if I could, you know, follow their lives and write a book about them.
And Zia, the older sister, the older of the two Iraqi sisters, she's the more adventurous one. And she, as you say, is the one who went and worked with the Americans in the Green Zone. And she really risked her life doing that. Just tell us a little bit about the attempt on her life when the big car chase.
Okay. Well, you know, I call Zia my suffragette because she very much was trying to break all the rules for Iraqi women by going to work for the Americans and helping the Americans build democracy and stability post-Saddam. Zia was coming out of her job in the Green Zone in the palace one afternoon, and her father picked her up at the gate, and she, you know, ran to the car, very much aware that she could be targeted by an insurgent waiting outside the security gates.
She had been warned that people were looking for her.
Not
she
only
was on
warned, I mean, others had been killed that she knew in exactly this way. And so she gets in the car and she realizes after a few minutes that she's being followed. And, you know, they try and lose the guy, but he follows them all over the city. And she ends up going back to the U.S. Base and leaping out of the car and running towards the base as the man gets out behind her with an enormous machete. And he's, you know, definitely going to kill her and her father, too. And she survives, of course, but it's later revealed that he was going to follow her home and kill her whole family. This happened countless times in Iraq. In fact, the woman who replaced Zia in her job was gunned down in front of her home.
I found it interesting. We're looking back now obviously with hindsight as to the events that happened in Iraq, the events that you're talking about, and so much even the opening lines that you read are so optimistic. And there's always this foreshadowing of we know what's to come. I mean, did you find yourself sort of having to hold back a little bit because you wanted to present the happy optimism that Iraqis felt?
Yeah, well, I think they were optimistic for a long time. And then we went through a very dark period in 2005 to 2008. And the question for me now is, are we coming out of that? And I think Zia and Nunu and a lot of Iraqi women are wondering the same thing. Should they be optimistic? Are we seeing the embryonic stages of democracy now flourishing in Iraq? We have elections coming up. Women represent now 25% of the parliament in Iraq. And moderate parties are returning to popularity after a couple periods where Islamic parties were much more popular. So I'm cautiously optimistic for the future of Iraq. And that's how I end the book, is kind of hoping that things will work out for women. And I think we still even now have to wait and see how it's going to go.
Christina Asquith, author of Sisters in War, a story of love, family, and survival in the new Iraq. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you so much.
There's more about where Zia and Nunu are now and how they feel about the war and America at theworld.org.